Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Look, in relation to the Prime Minister's speech, I think we just have to say that the announcement is underwhelming. Labor's always believed in rewarding quality teaching, but that is just one part of a much bigger picture, and we're going to be releasing our policies in the next coming months. Labor will not rest until every New Zealand child gets a first-class state education, and every New Zealand parent has absolute confidence that that is the case. And as the PISA results have recently shown us, they can't at the moment because New Zealand education is slipping backwards and too many of our children are missing out. Let's be clear here. Children don't leave their lives at the school gate. When kids go to school hungry, when one in four of them is growing up below the poverty line, and when one in five doesn't have two pairs of shoes, we cannot expect them to achieve. And that is exactly what the OECD has told us. Just paying bonuses to a few teachers on its own won't change that. Yes, it's great to see Mr. Key's last-minute conversion to collaboration. But that is not what they've been doing for the last 5 years with national standards, charter schools, league tables, and bigger subsidies for private education. This speech has been a six-page apology for Hekia Parata. On Monday, I'm going to be laying out a new direction for New Zealand, a new economic direction that will shift from short-term thinking and cosy deals to a long-term strategic approach to building good jobs, higher wages, and opportunities for all New Zealanders. And I'm going to talk about what's really going on, why average families are working harder and harder and just can't get ahead, and why our poorest families are going backwards. Education is a hugely important part of a bigger picture. We have a comprehensive education policy, which we will be releasing in due course. But on Monday, I'm going to be setting the broad direction for some new choices for a new New Zealand.
Shouldn't any measures to boost quality teaching be welcomed because that is seen as a main factor of student achievement?
Yes, of course, and insofar as it goes, we do. And we too will be looking at incentivising and rewarding the best teachers. But we have a package which goes much beyond that and is part of a whole package of measures around helping opportunity in our society.
So would a Labor government keep this package and keep these positions?
But we're yet to look through the detail of how National's numbers would square with our own, and National itself has said that they've got a fair bit more work to do to put the detail under their proposals today. What I can confirm is that we too will be doing something to recognise excellent teachers, but that will be part of a broader education package which goes to the key point I just said before, that we want every Kiwi kid in every Kiwi school to be guaranteed a first-class education, and currently they're not.
What do you think this policy says about the government's attitude towards teachers, colleges and the job that teachers are doing even now?
Well, it can get to quite a deep debate pretty quickly about how teacher training is going, how the measures square with tomorrow's schools, whether just addressing the top tier of teachers helps the issues lower down the teaching ranks. Now, those are all very valid education issues and experts will disagree with them. Look, I would say this is probably good in so far as it goes, but it's in no way sufficient to address the challenges in our education system.
So it could potentially fit with what you would be planning to do?
Look, it's a part of what we want to do, but it's not the whole of what we want to do in education, and you can't look at education in isolation from issues of poverty, the cost of living, and the variation that's creeping in because of league tables and national standards and charter schools.
So why is this a six-page apology for Hekia
Parata? Because at best it represents a change of direction, a nod towards greater collaboration, but that, as I say, has been at odds with their track record over the last 5 years, which has been more divisive. Charter schools, league tables, and not guaranteeing the minimum so much as trying to create opportunities for others.
That doesn't affect performance pay, isn't it? Just maybe in a different model than unions, for example, might have envisaged?
You may well call it performance pay. Some have said it's performance pay by the back door.
Well, do you call it, I mean, is that how you see it?
No, look, I think this is best described as a small part of a much bigger agenda of change that is needed. Yes, there is a place for rewarding excellence in teaching, yes, there is a place for good leadership in schools, and we too will be working on that. But that cannot be at the expense of other measures to ensure that every school is a great school.
So you basically see it as a good thing. You're not opposed to...
No, we're not opposed to it in principle, but it's got to be part of a much bigger and better package than Mr. Key. Look, this is a State of the Nation speech. This is supposed to be the grand agenda for the next 3 years. And what is it? More of the same, steady as she goes, and bonuses for top teachers. As I said, underwhelming.
How do you reward teacher excellence without it being performance pay?
I didn't say you shouldn't have some component of performance pay.
I'm just saying, as I said,
it's performance pay by the back door.
But you said you would reward teacher excellence. How do you do that without it being seen as
You do recognise some in their paycheck, and I haven't said we wouldn't. I said we would, but it's part of a bigger package.
So the incentive scheme that you've worked out is financial?
There would be a financial component to it, yes indeed.
For all teachers? Universal or for
students? Not universal. No, but we'll be releasing the details later. When we choose to. You'll get a foretaste of it on Monday.
Will we get education policies on Monday?
You'll get the direction of travel. You won't get all the detail. We'll be following up with some more later.
This is $359 million in education spent in the wrong area.
It's very interesting that the government has chosen, and that's a four-year figure, rising to $150 million a year. It's very interesting that they've chosen to put quite so much emphasis on this one aspect of education. There's an enormous amount else that needs doing. What we know from the OECD is that it's our long tail of children growing up, frankly, in poverty, who are the most likely to be underachieving in our education system that is the single most important factor, and there is nothing in this package that addresses that.
How important is the selection or the appointment process going to be, given that the external panel will appoint the principals who will then appoint the expert teachers?
Yes, look, we're going to be dealing over the next couple of days in more detail with some of those questions, but as a first blush, the idea that you share a principal between a couple of schools so that they become part-time principals is potentially problematic. The fact that they may be imposed on a school over the wishes of a board is also potentially problematic, but we want to listen to the sector and hear more about their views on that and engage in those discussions over the next few days.
What about the appointment process, though, and the makeup of that external panel who sort of sits at the top, I suppose, of the appointment process for a lot of these positions?
Well, you may have seen more background papers than I have. I'm just going by the text of the speech, but I haven't seen all that detail set out. What I did say was the government kicking for touch and saying they've still got more work to do in that area, which raises an important point. There's something that's very rushed about the government's speech today. It's not long since they've done the review of teacher appointments, but none of these things were in the recommendations from that review. It seems to have been plucked out of the air. I wonder why.
Would you say that this announcement appears to disadvantage teachers in disadvantaged schools? Because, for example, someone from a decile 1 school is not going to be getting the same access to these allowances as someone in a decile 10.
I think that that's a real possibility, and let's think through the logic. We know that students achieve better in high decile schools because we know that their academic performance is linked to their overall family situation. Right? It's not because they're better schools. We know often the lower decile schools can achieve more improvement in a student's performance, and that's different from the absolute level. That's, for example, in my own electorate, I've got a primary school which has got over half its kids migrants who don't even start with English as a first language. They're never going to meet national standards in year one, but their improvement is dramatic. But if you're in a low decile school and you're being rewarded on absolute performance, yes, you could be disadvantaged. That's why we need to see more detail.
Reading through the text of the speech, what was your overall impression?
That this is very underwhelming, that as a grand vision for where to take New Zealand for the next 3 years, New Zealand deserves better. As a Prime Minister who is content with the way things are, and what I'm hearing from the average Kiwi family is they're not feeling content. They're told on the TV that everything's rosy, but for them it's still a struggle, they're going nowhere, and for our most vulnerable families, they are going backwards. So I think it's underwhelming. I don't think it says anything about where we take our economy. I don't think it says how we protect our environment. And I certainly don't think it solves the inequality gaps that are really, really pulling our society apart.
On a first take, would you scrap the National Incentive Scheme that it's set up and replace it with your own? Or are you now looking at how it dovetails in with yours in any way?
Well, we need a bit of time to work that through. We haven't seen all the details of Nationals. We would probably pick up elements of this, whether we pick up exactly the same numbers and how we fit it into our broader framework and how the overall fiscal package works is work we have to do now that we've got this first taste.
So you won't necessarily just scrap it all?
No, we're not necessarily going to scrap it all. Like I said, this is potentially okay insofar as it goes, but it doesn't even solve all the key problems in education, let alone the broader issues of New Zealand's future. So as a State of the Nation address, it is very underwhelming.
It doesn't actually come into operation before you would be in government if you formed one after the election. So why can't you just say ours will be in place, not theirs?
I think ours will be in place, but I think we share some areas of agreement here, as I've said, about wanting to recognise excellence in teaching and in leadership in schools. We'll do it in a slightly different way, and it'll be part of a more holistic package. I don't think that this policy on its own, though, will provide enough for a coalition between National and Labour.
Would you see a problem if one of the criteria is based on national standards and national standards achievement in terms of particularly, I suppose, the expert and lead teachers?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it goes to the earlier question. National standards are neither national nor standardised. They measure absolute performance, not relative progress. And they are dangerously likely to set up league tables of winner schools and loser schools. And our overriding objective is that every New Zealand parent, like I am, can be sure that their children can get a first-class education in their local school. And that's got to be as true in Papatoetoe and Papakura as it is in Parnell and Remuera.
But for a government who's instituted the national standards, it would be a logical step for them to use that as a basis.
That's why the public has a choice. If you want a society that is more divided, where the rich get richer and the middle struggles and the poor miss out, just carry on the way you're going. If you want a different kind of New Zealand, one I think that's truer to New Zealand's true values, which are that everybody should work hard, play by the rules, and then have the opportunity to get ahead, and that every generation of children should be able to expect to do better than their parents if they play their cards right. No matter where you come from, the colour of your skin, the size of your parents' wallet, that spirit of opportunity is what makes New Zealand great. That's why our forebears came here, whether it was from Europe or Polynesia, and that is what the Labour Party stands for. That's what New Zealanders want. That's why we're going to get a change of government, and I'm looking forward to this race. Thank you very much.
David, quickly.
That's it for today, and I'll take more questions later. Thank you.